Welcome to Cyber IQ Weekly, your dose of actionable regulatory intelligence. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is Sarah, our lead analyst, to break down the week's most critical developments.
Thanks, Alex. This week, we saw one key obligation go live and two major regimes come into sharp focus with approaching deadlines. Let's start with China.
What's new there and who needs to be paying attention?
Today, August 20th, China's Network Data Security Risk Assessment Measures, or CAC-MIIT-MPS Order No. 24, officially entered into force. This means that any entity handling important data in China now has a new mandatory annual requirement.
And what exactly does that entail?
If you process important data, you must conduct a documented annual risk assessment. If there's a significant change to your data security posture, a special assessment is also required. The report from this assessment needs to be filed with your sector regulator or the provincial or national cyber safety authority, if there isn't a specific sector regulator, within 20 working days of completion. You also need to retain these reports for at least 3 years.
So what's the immediate action item for companies with operations in China? The critical action is to confirm your important data exposure now. You need to determine whether your China environments handle important data or high volumes of personal information. Then you must stand up an annual assessment methodology and identify your sector regulator filing channel. This needs to be done by September 19th. The CAC also published an implementation Q&A clarifying accredited assessment bodies and filing channels, so that's a key resource.
Beyond China, you mentioned two other significant regimes landing on the same date. Can you elaborate?
Absolutely. September 11th has become a double gate for compliance teams. On that day, the European Union's Cyber Resilience Act's Article 14 Vulnerability and Incident Reporting Duties begin, and South Korea's Personal Information Protection Act, or PIPA, overhaul takes effect.
Let's unpack the EU Cyber Resilience Act first. What does Article 14 require?
From September 11th, manufacturers of products with digital elements must report actively exploited vulnerabilities and severe incidents through ENIS's new single reporting platform. The reporting clock is very short. An early warning is due within 24 hours of becoming aware, a full technical notification within 72 hours, and a final report within 14 days of a corrective measure, or 1 month for severe incidents.
24 hours is a tight turnaround. What's the biggest challenge there?
The compliance problem is operational. That 24-hour early warning duty means the decision to report has to be made before an investigation is complete. The clock starts with awareness, not root cause certainty. So organizations need pre-agreed thresholds for what constitutes actively exploited and severe, a named decision owner, and a tested path into the single reporting platform. Manufacturers also need to know which National Computer Security Incident Response Team, or CSIRT, corresponds to their main establishment in the EU, as that determines where the notification lands.
So, for the Cyber Resilience Act, what should companies be doing right now?
Manufacturers of products with digital elements should build out their 24, 72, 14-day reporting runbook now, focusing on that awareness trigger. They need to set those actively exploited and severe incident thresholds and name a decision owner. They also need to determine their main establishment in the EU and its corresponding national CSIRT. Finally, as soon as the ENISA single reporting platform is available, they should register for and test access, rather than waiting for an incident.
Moving to South Korea, what are the key changes with the PIPA overhaul?
The amended South Korean Personal Information Protection Act, effective September 11th, significantly changes privacy risk for anyone processing Korean personal data. The headline is the potential for much higher fines, now reaching 10% of a company's total annual turnover for the worst conduct. This punitive fine track is reserved for intentional or grossly negligent violations repeated within 3 years, breaches affecting 10 million or more individuals, or failure to comply with the Personal Information Protection Commission, or PIPC, corrective order where a breach results.
That's a substantial increase in financial exposure. Are there other significant changes?
Yes, there's a structural shift in accountability. The amended act now names the business owner or representative as ultimately responsible for the processing and protection of personal information. This pins accountability at the very top. Additionally, designated large-scale controllers must obtain board approval and report to the PIPC when appointing their chief privacy officer, and breach notification timelines are moving earlier.
What's the immediate action plan for organizations affected by the South Korean PIPA changes?
First, confirm if your Korean entity is a designated large-scale controller. If so, you need to calendar board approval and PIPC reporting for your chief privacy officer appointment before September 11th. You should also remap your worst-case penalty exposure against that new 10% of turnover band and document controls to avoid those intentional, grossly negligent, or repeated triggers. Brief the business owner or representative on their named ultimate responsibility status and record the governance evidence that discharges it. Finally, tighten breach notification runbooks to the earlier timeline.
Shifting gears to the U.S., California's privacy regulator has been active. What's the latest there?
California's privacy regulator brought its first data broker enforcement actions under both the California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA, and the DELETE Act this week. Locate Smarter LLC was fined $116,490 for failing to register by the January 31st, 2026 deadline and for requiring consumers to submit the last four digits of their social security number before exercising opt-out rights. This was treated as a CCPA data minimization violation applied to the opt-out mechanism itself.
And the second fine?
Cyba Inc., a Boston-based firm, was ordered to pay $52,400 for failing to register. They are also required to publish privacy rights metrics and process deletion requests through the Delete Online Information for Everyone, or DROP, platform going forward. These actions sharpen the message that registration is table stakes, and any friction built into a consumer opt-out is now an enforcement target.
We also have an AI bill on the California governor's desk. What's the status of AB 1651?
AB 1651, concerning the State Bar of California and artificial intelligence, was presented to the governor on August 10th. Under the California Constitution, the 12-day gubernatorial clock expires on or about August 22nd. If no action is taken, the bill becomes law by default. From January 1, 2028, it would require the State Bar to disclose the use of AI-generated content in developing or administering the bar exam and study materials. A key nuance is that human revision does not extinguish this disclosure duty.
What should listeners do about AB 1651?
Check for signature, veto, or default enactment on or about August 22nd. If enacted, map the 2028 State Bar AI disclosure duty and track the disclosure survives human review formulation as an emerging drafting pattern, as this could influence future AI legislation.
Any other notable developments this week?
Yes, a few quick hits. In France, the Conseil Constitutionnel struck down the operative under 15 social media ban on August 14th. The previously announced start dates for 2026 and 2027 are now void, and the Prime Minister has been tasked with a rewrite. In the U.S., the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, or CFTC, proposed to ease fund advisor registration, and the U.K. Payment Systems Regulator's Confirmation of Payee consultation closes today, August 20th. The U.S. Stablecoin Issuer Customer Identification Program proposed rule closes tomorrow, August 21st.
That's a packed week. Thank you, Sarah, for breaking down these critical updates.
My pleasure, Alex.
And that's our show for this week. Thank you for tuning in to Cyber IQ Weekly. For all the sources, deadlines, and the full brief, be sure to subscribe to the Cyber IQ newsletter. We'll be back next week with more actionable regulatory intelligence.